Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our scripture this morning comes from Genesis 1, 26 up to chapter 2, verse 3. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that keeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given, and every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation.
Thank you, Helen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can come before you through your word, and as you speak to each and every one of us this morning, Father, we thank you that you have blessed each and every one of us this morning, not only with your living breath, but being able to come together as a community, as a family like this, Lord God. And so, Father, I pray that your word that you will speak to us this morning will encourage us, encounter us, and that there would be a transformation in each of our hearts and minds that would be towards you, our Father, our King, and our Lord. So, Father, this morning, we commit our time to you in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Amen. So, we are going through our series, right? We're going through our new series at the moment. It's how to make, how to create, what is the purpose of us being created? Why have we been created? And so, the title of my message this morning is Meaningful Work. Everyone say, meaningful work. When was the last time that you were in awe of something? When was the last time that you saw something and you were like, wow, that's pretty cool, right? Whether it was a piece of art, whether it was a unique creation, or whether it was a night sky, or maybe it was a beach or something, you know, a mountain range, whatever it was. When was the last time that you were in awe of something? Here are a couple of moments for me through this week, through this year. This is a view from, North Burley Lookout, looking back towards Surfers Paradise. And like for me, I love this picture because I see the ocean meeting the sands, meeting the city, right? This beautiful transition of that. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. This is from Changi Airport in Singapore. That place is like, wow. If you get a chance to go to Singapore Airport, man, just staying in the airport is like, because this is there, man. This water feature that falls from the sky, and it runs on like six or seven levels. And it's like they got this like this Garden of Eden right there. And this is day and night in an airport. You haven't even gone out into Singapore itself. But when I see this, I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. And this is a photo that I took when we had a work conference down in the Gold Coast. And I think I was around about on the 30-something floor. They have like a garden on the top, and I was looking out towards the ocean. I saw this, and when I took a photo, like for me, I see the lights sort of piercing, coming through the clouds, hitting the water, and the water's like, the ocean is flat. You see the lights of rays hitting the water, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty amazing. Paul David Tripp is a pastor and author, and he said this: every awesome thing in creation is designed to point you to the one who alone is worthy of capturing and controlling the awe of your searching and hungry heart. It's wrong not to be in awe of what God created, but it's even more deeply wrong when you can look at created glory without remembering God. Without remembering God. For people who believe in God, we should be in awe of what we see around us. We should be in awe of what we see. Yes, creation, but even in each other. Because we're made in the image of God. But for people who don't believe in God, like atheists, they don't connect awe with God. They sort of, they say that, oh, that's just nature. That's just the way it is. But it isn't just the way it is. It came from an ultimate creator in God. In the story of creation, we find something really awesome. In our passage today, we discover the secrets of why our work is important and how it can bring us joy and purpose. Picture the beginning of creation, right? There's darkness. There's chaos. There's emptiness. Remember last week I said that the Hebrew word for without void and without form and void was this word tohu vavohu. This is the current state of things in creation before God intervenes, before God speaks creation into existence. This is what the world look like. There was nothing. So God is the master artist. Timothy Keller says, God created the world as a work of art, not as a battlefield between warring cosmic forces. A work of art. And God not only creates the world, but he also cares for it. And the way that he cares for it is that he creates human beings that he commissions to come and fill and subdue the earth, to create and cultivate. So God takes the first 3 days of creation, right? He takes the first 3 days to create the world. And then the next 3 days he takes to fill it. And he fills it with these amazing things, right? He fills the ocean with animals and water creatures that you know, blow our mind, right? Things like two great lights, right? When you read in the creation story, the author of Genesis, Moses, he says that two great lights and stars are formed. That is how the Bible refers to the sun and moon. He doesn't literally say the sun and moon. He just says two great lights. Because as Moses is writing this, the Egyptians, they have their ideas of what the sun and the moon represent. And so he's trying to differentiate between this, right? He's trying to say, yeah, it's the sun and moon, but they ain't gods. He's saying they are not gods. They're not to be worshipped. They were created by the one and only God, by the ultimate God. And that's why he doesn't use, you know, these words to, because they might say, oh, he's referring to our God. And he says, nah, it's just these great lights. One to rule the day and one to rule the night. So God creates. He creates trees, plants, animals in the ocean, birds in the sky, and all sorts of incredible land animals. And the world was full of life and beauty. But it wasn't complete. It wasn't complete. Because God then creates humans. God then creates man. And this is where the story sort of slows down on the sixth day, because creating humans is an important part of the story. It slows down because this is like a climax. This is like a high point of this narrative. And in verse 27, So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Do you hear the rhythm in that? Do you see the repetition in that? Created, created, created. God, God, he. This is like the first poetry from the Bible. When you think about the journey to get to this point, and so we've seen God create galaxies, oceans, mountains, gardens, animals galore, and then we come to man. And God gives man this unique privilege, and that is that we're made in his image. We're made in the image of God. We reflect him, both male and female. Think about when a baby's born. They come out as these little people, right? Uniquely made, bearing the image of their maker, their parents, right? These babies, they have characteristics, they have attributes, they have features of their parents show up in them. We have been made in the image of God. We bear God's resemblance. We bear God's nature. We bear God's qualities in our life. Isn't that something to be in awe of? Getting our heads around that should always keep in place, should always keep us in place of like, man, our God's pretty cool, eh? We serve a pretty awesome God. Now, can I get us to do something, all right? I want you to close your eyes. Everybody just close your eyes. I just want you to listen to these words that I'm going to read out. These are words from David, and he's writing this about God. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You can open your eyes. What images did you see as you were hearing those words? What did you envision as you heard the fingers of God setting things in place, right? How wonderful it is when we get to be reminded of God's greatness, God's power, God's authority, God's beauty, and his purposes. In verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Being made in God's image is pretty amazing, but God doesn't stop there. He goes even further and he blesses them. He blesses male and female, and he gives them a responsibility. He says to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. This is God giving man this massive inheritance, and man didn't even do anything. God did all the work, and then on the sixth day, he creates man and then says, now all this, it's yours. Now take care of it. Continue to do the work of creation that I have started. God invites male and female into this thing that God is doing, this gift of creation. He invites us to participate in it by being fruitful, by multiplying, by filling the earth. You know, last week we learned that we were created to create and cultivate, right? To build, to form, to create, to care for all that God has entrusted to us. And yes, that includes his resources, and yes, it includes the people around us, including our families, our friends, our neighbors, our work colleagues. God's entrusted that to us. So how are we caring for that? How are we caring for them? We are made in God's image, and we are given this responsibility. In verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. Who likes their greens? Did you know God gave it for you? So eat it. Eat your greens. Young people, eat your greens. Okay? God gave it to us for food. God, we're seeing God providing for his creation. Right? God providing food for man. In Psalm 136, it says, he who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Our great God gave us everything we need. He is the source of our life, even down to the very sustenance that he provides for us. KFC is okay. McDonald's is okay. That's all processed stuff. You want to go to greens, baby, greens. Okay? Yeah, I'm talking to myself because I don't really eat many greens. Well, that's another sermon, another day. Okay? So we see the generosity of God. We see the generosity of God providing plants that he created as food for man and all living creation. Now think about the food. What would the food have tasted like before the fall, right? Think about that. I wonder how much more sweeter the food would have been. I wonder how much more better the food would have been before the fall. Because this is before Adam and Eve sinned, right? Because we know that after that, it got hard to do work. Work was a burden. Work took major effort, right? But before that, we're here and it's saying, it's good. Everything's very good. Ask God that when you get to heaven. Eh? I think about this. And I want us to see, this is the first thing I want us to see. Is this number one, meaningful work is purposeful. Meaningful work is purposeful. God's work in creating creation was purposeful. There was a point to it, right? God just doesn't create creation and then he leaves it. No, he creates creation and then he puts man in charge of it. He says, okay, you resemble me now. I want you to act on my behalf. I want you to represent me in cultivating and creating creation and creating and carrying on what I started. That's what God's saying here. So now humans are being invited into continuing in the partnership with God and creating and cultivating of creation. This was God's original purpose. That humans would continue to contribute positively to his creation. That we would fulfill our unique role as stewards and co-laborers with God in continuing to multiply and fill the earth. And I know this, you know, some of us may think, ah, but that was back in creation. I think it's all done. And he goes, I don't think it's all done. Because we're living in this world. God's placed us on this place. And to think that we don't play a part in continuing this creation process that God entrusted to us from the very beginning, it's only done when God says it's done and his son Jesus comes back. Then it's done. But until then, we got work to do. We got stuff to do, right? Knowing the difference between meaningful and meaningless work, I think this is an area that we can all tend to struggle in or tend to forget or get confused in. Knowing the biblical view of meaningless work and how this can, it can be quite narrow-minded. It can be quite selfish in the view compared to meaningful work, right? Meaningless work and meaningful work. There's a difference, right? An example of meaningless work is like looking at the pursuit of material wealth, right? Maybe we could be engaged in activities that have a primary purpose of just, man, I just want to get the best things for myself. I want to drive the best car, the fanciest car. I want the best house. I want the best wife, or I want the best husband, right? You know, because you're all, it's all about me. It's all about trying to build what I want and feed my ego, right? That can be an aspect of meaningless work. And this is what we see in the story of the young rich ruler. Right? You remember the story of the young rich ruler? This is told in the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And this young rich ruler, he starts out with, he has a real sincere intention at the beginning. He approaches Jesus and he says, hey Jesus, I want to find out, how do I get eternal life? Right? So there's this initial real desire. There's a real spiritual hunger in this young rich ruler. But then he comes up against a stumbling block. Because when Jesus tells him what he needs to do with his wealth, okay, cool. Now I want you to go and sell all your possessions and give them to the poor, because your riches are in heaven. And then come and follow me. And we get to see an aspect of this young man. There's a bit of an attachment that he has to his material stuff. Because in Matthew 19:22, he says this, when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He went away sorrowful. Maybe when you started the journey with God, that your intention was to know God. You wanted to know God. You had a desire to discover more about Him, to serve Him. But now as you're beginning to see more of God and you're discovering more about yourself, ourselves, maybe we're beginning to see things that are beginning to be revealed, real things about our real motive, about our real intention. And it may be getting a little bit uncomfortable for us, right? Are there things in our own walk with Jesus that make us sorrowful? Are there things that we are doing or thinking that are making us think, oh, I don't know if I want to give that up. I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want them to see me like that. In another translation, this word grieving, they use the word grieving, right? And you think of grieving. This was the posture, the heart of this young man. He was grieving that Jesus told him that he had to sell everything that he had. There was this great sadness, this deep emotional pain in this young man. And that's not to say that you have to walk away from Jesus like this young man did. But maybe it's an opportunity for us to check our hearts. Maybe it's an opportunity for us to look at what is really our motivation. Is it really to want to know God? Or is it really just to get stuff from God? Maybe it's an opportunity for us to turn back to Jesus completely and wholeheartedly. Maybe this is indicating a part of our heart that may not be fully surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. Because at the end of the day, it's all about Lordship. That's all it's really about. It's all about Lordship. It's all about who do you want to sit on the throne of your heart, right? Is it really Jesus? Or is it, nah, it's really me? That will be revealed in how we live out our lives, in the decisions that we make. When Jesus is Lord of our life, there's usually a lot of changes, a lot of process, a lot of things that will begin to come to light, that will come to mind for you, for each of us. And each of us are all different, right? Because we're all walking through different stuff. But God will begin to show us through His Holy Spirit, oh, maybe there's an uncomfortableness when you do something. Or maybe there's an uncomfortableness when you say something to someone, and you're like, oh, that doesn't sound right. I shouldn't have done that, right? You know that sense in you. You know that feeling within you, and it's like a red flag to you. It's like saying, hey, It's that red light that comes up on your dashboard of your car. That, I need a service. I need a service. Get to the garage. Be like, nah, it's all right. I can't see it. Just keep driving. Until you end up driving and you're on the side of the road. Someone help me, please. Don't ignore those things. Meaningless work. Meaningless work can lead us down a path of chasing individual, motivated, self-gratifying things, right? Because maybe we've forgotten the ultimate purpose of God for us. Maybe we're so focused on doing the stuff that we forget about being with God, who gave us the stuff, right? Don't be busy for the sake of being busy, but be useful, be purposeful. We have been created for a purpose, and meaningful work is purposeful. We have been created for a purpose, and meaningful work is purposeful. The sixth thing I want us to see is this: meaningful work is enjoyed. Meaningful work is enjoyed. The purpose-driven work that we do is to be enjoyed, right? In verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And so here God steps back. He's stepping back, and he takes in all that he has done, right? He's seeing all the work that he has done, and he's taking delight in what he sees. He takes delight in you. He takes delight in your children. He takes delight in the work that you do. And he says that it is very good. When was the last time that you stepped back from the work that you do and just delighted in what God has enabled you to do? When was the last time you admired what God was doing in your life or through you? When did you last do that? When I look at creation, the skies, the ocean, everything around us, I'm like, God, that's pretty cool. You're pretty amazing, right? A couple of years ago, me and my family, we went to a family trip to Townsville, right? Anyone been up to Townsville, right? Yeah, no one's been to Townsville? Oh, mate. You don't know what you're missing out on. Okay, but Townsville, man, it's beautiful. It's like it has this massive red rock right in the middle of Townsville. And it sticks out like, oh my gosh, you go to every part of the city, you see it. It's massive. And it's like, wow, God. Wow. God steps back and he looks at what he has done. And it was very good. Tim Keller, in his book, Every Good Endeavor, said this: God finds what he has done as beautiful. He stands back, takes in all that he has made, and says, in effect, that's good. Like all good and satisfying work, the worker sees himself in it. The worker sees himself in it. With the work that we do, do we find satisfaction in that work? Do we step back and say, that's pretty good. That is good work. If not, why not? Maybe you don't like what you're doing as work. And yes, that can be a case for some of us. But if we remember, if we remind ourselves, okay, God, you've placed me here in this place. And so I'm going to be a vessel for you in this place to proclaim your word, to marvel at your goodness in this workplace. Then we will see stuff because we're seeing, oh, it's hard work. Oh, I don't like this person. Oh, this person does my head in, right? If we're looking at work like that, then we're like, I think we've forgotten who we're representing in that workplace. I think we've forgotten that I'm a Christian in here. I should be like, be a bit more probably gracious. Be a bit more loving, be a bit more welcoming to them, right? Maybe we see work and worship as these separate responsibilities, right? Oh, work happens from Monday to Saturday or Monday to Friday, depending on your schedule. And then Sunday is when worship happens. That's not how God created it to be, right? That wasn't God's intention. God created work to be part of us, to be part of our being and doing towards God, towards Him. Work is purposeful and work is to be enjoyed. And here's the final thing. Meaningful work is restful. Meaningful work is restful. After the 6 days of work, God rests on the seventh. Who likes to rest? Yes. Now, rest. There's sleep. Who likes to sleep? Yes. Yes, amen to that. In Genesis, in our reading today, right? In Genesis 2, it says this, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done and He rested. Everyone say rested. On the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it God rested. Everyone say rested from all His work that He had done in creation. So here we see this cycle that God puts into place. He works for 6 days and then He rests. On the seventh day He rests. Meaningful work finds joy in rest. Meaningful work finds joy in rest. Rest is just as important as the work. Because God knows that in our mortal bodies, we get tired. We get grumpy. We get cranky. So we need rest. We need to find that rest. We need to make space for rest in our lives. I like what one biblical scholar says, and he puts it like this. It's perfectly clear that God's good plan always included human beings working, and more specifically, in a cycle of work and rest. If you just work, you're going to get burnt out. You're going to get tired. You're going to get grumpy. You're going to get angry at the people that are most closest to you. And hopefully, those people that you have around you will like say, hey, bro, Henry, you need some rest. You're a bit cranky at the moment, okay? So go get some time with God. Go sit down and just be quiet. Just sit. Turn your brain off. And it doesn't mean go and watch Netflix. It doesn't mean, you know, going to game. Because you're engaging your mind there. When we sit and be still, then the stuff that we're really thinking about really becomes loud in our head. What are the things that we're really worried about? What are the things that we're really trying to figure out in our lives? It may be bills. It may be a relationship. It may be something that's happening at work. But it's in those moments of being still, being in a restful place, that we should be engaging God. We should be encountering with God. And asking, God, why is this heavy on my heart? Why is this so loud in my head in this place that I'm trying to rest? What is going on in me, Lord God? So I want to encourage us. Work has always been a part of who we were created to be, right? It's part of God's original plan. It's always been part of God's perfect design for humanity to rest. To rest is to see how God has brought us through the week, right? To see God's hand upon our lives, in our relationships, in our families, in our workplaces. To see God, how He was, He was working in that place. He showed us this thing. To rest is to see the work that we did throughout that week as a way of giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God. Thank you, God, for the strength that you allowed me to do this work. Thank you, God, for the wisdom that you poured onto me to be able to think through the different things that I do in my work. Because the work that we do is purposeful. The work that we do is to be enjoyed. The work that we do is to be restful. I want us to see rest as this moment to pause. A moment to stop. To stop work, to take a moment to reflect, to look back on the week that was, right? And remind ourselves of the goodness of God through that week. You know, I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of this because I think this is me and my lazy thinking. You know, when someone comes up and asks, oh, how's your week? And our automatic response is, good. It's been good. What does good look like? Have we thought about that? I challenge you, right? When someone asks you that question, how's your week been? I want you to think about, you're not allowed to say it's good. Think about saying some other words. Be expressive. Think of other words. Because honestly, I get caught up in there. It's like automatic pilot. Oh, I'm good. Another person comes up, oh, I'm good. I'm good. What does good look like? How has God been good to you in this week? Right? I think that trains our mind. That trains an awareness of us being on God and how He's working through us. Because autopilot can just take over. Right? We say the right things at the right time. We do the right things at the right time. And all the while, we think we're growing in God, but all the while, it's same old, same old. We're just doing the stuff that we know that is just, it's like a religion. It's like just a task we do, a thing that we say. I think God wants us to speak more of His goodness. And it is in us. It's in each and every one of us. There are words in you that you've been thinking about that you won't say, but you know God's been doing something in you. Maybe He's walked you through a situation. But you're like, nah, I'm good. You don't know what God has been doing in you. May encourage that person right there. May encourage them right where they are. So seeing our lives, our work, the things that we do in our daily life, seeing it as an opportunity to honor God and bless God, to see this has been given to us. And we have been blessed by God to go out and be a blessing in the world around us. Amen? Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You with a grateful heart, recognizing that every moment of our lives is a gift from You. Lord, we seek Your guidance. We seek Your strength as we go through the journey of doing meaningful work for Your glory. Lord, help us. Help us to see the purpose in every task that we undertake. May we see that those things we do, they aren't just meaningless tasks, but they are meaningful opportunities for us to glorify You, to point people to You. And so help us, Lord God, remind us through Your Holy Spirit to be aware of You, but not only just being aware of You, but responding to You, inviting You to participate in our decision-making, inviting You to become and lead us and guide us in a conversation, to lead and guide us in our workplace. That we would see You, Lord God, in us and know that You are with us and that You want to work through us in those moments. Father, grant us the wisdom to discern the best ways to make a positive impact in the world through our work. Through the work of whether we're a cleaner or sweeping the streets to the CEO of a multi-million dollar organization, Lord God, You have made us in Your image. You have implanted and embedded in each and every one of us a desire, a unique gifting, to create and cultivate right where we are, in our families, in our workplaces, in our classrooms. So, Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.